From Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher, welcome to Tuesday.
Yeah, very good morning,
3%,
Mike.
3%, they got that right. What's the vibe on that?
Yeah, so inflation, is it our favourite water cooler topic, is it? I mean, ultimately it's quite a dry subject, isn't it? But you can't underestimate how much it impacts on us every day. So cost of living, interest rates, wage setting. So a tad boring it may be, Mike, but worthy of plenty of attention. So inflation, if you have your head under a rock for the last 24 hours, I'll just let you know, inflation jumped to 3% in Q3. Non-tradable slowed 0.2% to 3.5%. That's in line with the RBNZ forecast. That's been the problematic stuff. Tradable 2.2, 3% is a lift from the previous quarter, which was 2.7. Just quickly, the quarterly numbers, headline 1%, tradable 0.8, non-tradable 1.1. Market reaction, pretty muted, Mike, because it was right in line with expectations. But yeah, to make some comments about the vibe, it's really not so much about the here and now, is it, Mike? I mean, we know it's high. It was good that it came in on expectations, but it's the expectation that inflation will abate that's the key observation over the next 12 months. So by this time next year, expectations are that inflation will be back within the 1% to 3% band and hopefully around the midpoint of 2%. And if we get there, happy days, but we've got to get there. So there's a lot of heightened interest now, I think particularly between now and late November, on any data that gives us insight into prices and what they're doing. Late November, the last OCR review for the year. And I would speculate, Michael, at the moment that there's a reluctance for many households to go out and lift consumption, while many prices are given the impression that inflation is running quite a bit higher than 3%. I mean, those many essentials that fit that brief are household energy, 11.4% year on year, food, 4.6% year on year, education, 9.8%, rates, 8.8%. I mean, council rates and food were the major contributors to the lift. So when that's going on, you're sitting at home going, geez, I think inflation 3%, I don't know about that. But Mike, deep in the data, there are encouraging signs. Non-tradable is slowing. X food, fuel and energy, that non-volatile, take out the volatile stuff, 2.5%. So the signs are there that it will fall.
Good stuff. Mike Fouche is on the program after 7:30, so he's got news around Infratil and Contact and the price of power, and we'll talk about all of that. But that was a significant deal yesterday, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. So big news on the local exchange, a significant move. This involved Infratil and Contact. And just to work through it, Infratil has purchased the Tauranga Electricity Consumer Trust stake in Contact Energy for $438 million. So that takes Infratil's holding to 14.3%, quite substantial. Infratil, they're going to pay for it with some debt facilities. They'll also issue about $219 million worth of new Infratil shares to TECT. What it does, Mike, is it removes an overhang on Contact shares because Infratil and TECT received Contact shares as part payment when Contact bought Manawa Energy, which was Trust Power. So they were both major shareholders. So what it does, so there was always the potential for those shares to be sort of sold into the market, you know, probably at a discount. So it tidies that situation up. It's also, I think, quite a vote of confidence in the sector. I mean, the investment team at Infratil, Morris & Co, very highly regarded. So that the fact that they're prepared, they want to do this, I think it should be viewed quite positively. The other thing is Contact throws off cash. In contrast to Infratil invested in CDC, the data center business, that needs cash, so there's some sort of offset there. And I would make just a bigger picture comment, Mike, that I think the sector is going to start to look a bit more interesting for investors because interest rates continue to decline, they continue to fall. You've got all that money out there in TDs, those TD rates getting lower and lower. Those investors start looking for better returns and they go up the risk curve. And let's not forget, what does AI need? We're talking about an AI revolution. Power. What does it need? It needs power. So it's power hungry. So it's hard to not see this sector continuing to grow over time.
Give me 30 seconds on the sovereign thing.
Nothing wrong with the idea at a high level, Mike. I mean, yes, short on detail. What detail there is doesn't really compare to the other sovereign funds. I mean, you put those businesses in, as you said, and how do you balance out the loss of income?
Right.
So it starts small. I think you got to start somewhere. But what we really need to know, Mike, you said it, how does it fit into the broader spending revenue package? Once we know that, we can make an assessment of it.
Give me some numbers.
The Dow Jones, actually quite a positive start. Well, day 20. Of the shutdown, day 20 of the shutdown. If it goes through tomorrow, it'll be the second longest of all time. 46688 on the Dow Jones. That's up almost 500 points, 1.08%, good day. The S&P 500, 6738, up 74 points, 1.1%, good day. And the NASDAQ up 1.5%, so the market off to a great start for the week, 346 points on the NASDAQ, 23,025. The FTSE 100 also up 0.5%, 9403. The Nikkei got bullish again, up 1,603 points, 3.37%, 49,185. Shanghai Composite also up 0.6%, 3863. The Aussies yesterday gained 0.4%, 9031 the close there, and we rallied 0.42% on the NZX 50 yesterday, closing at 13,345. Kiwi dollar, a little bit stronger, 0.5748 against the US, 0.8824 Aussie, 0.4933 euro, 0.4284 against the pound, 86.61 Japanese yen. Gold just keeps on going, $4,347 an ounce. And Brent crude, though, Mike, going the other way.
Come
$60.
On.
$60.61.
Give me a five and I'll think it's Christmas. Go well, mate. See you tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher, Shaw and Partners.